Good morning, everyone. As you probably have already read, the Lighthouse Quartet has had many members in the quartet. So today there are five here. One is not here with us, Tim DuBois, who was at Countryside High with us. He works at
Harborside,
so he could not be here this morning. And one is a member who passed away, who used to be with us, Dan. And this morning, we're going to, in the Presbyterian tradition, we're going to do a little education to start the church service. So we're going to give you a little glimpse, little hint, and we're going to teach you a little bit about what the first day in heaven would be like.
Oh, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you stroll down the Golden Avenue. There are mansions left and right, and you're thrilled to every sight, and the saints are always smiling, saying, how do you do? Oh, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you realize your worrying days are through. You'll be glad you were not idle, took time to read your Bible. It's a great morning for you.
I had a dream, I now confess I hated to awake.
I dreamt I was standing at the great pearly gate.
St. Peter said, well, hello there, where have you been? We've got your mansion ready, so come right in.
And then he rang for angel to act as a guide.
He spread his wings a time or two and learned how to fly.
Oh, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you stroll down the Golden Avenue. There are mansions left and right, and you're thrilled to every sight, and the saints are always smiling, saying, how do you do? Oh, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you realize your worrying days are through. You'll be glad you were not idle and took time to read your Bible. It's a great morning, a great morning. What a happy day.
Please join me as we worship God this morning. For earth we give you thanks, O God. For rest we give you thanks. For work we give you thanks. The blue skies and clouds we give you thanks. For meaning that is simple and sacred, all bonding for family, friendship, and church. For the possibility of hope and life through the future, we give you thanks. They are gentle in the night. For the turning seasons of the year and the celebrations by which we mark our time, we give you thanks. For all the God's story, for the salvation of souls, for the promise of eternity. We give you thanks and praise, God of holiness and splendor, as we gather together in the name of the one who makes all earth incarnate. Let us bring our prayers to the one who listens and responds with unceasing grace. God, who loves us, you have always given us what we need. You have taken care of us even when we could not care for ourselves. You have given us life and breath. Why is it that we still doubt your constant presence? Why do we still go on our own way, resisting your grace? Why do we persist in doing everything our own way? God, we only hurt ourselves and others for being so fierce, dependent. Give us courage enough to place our trust in the presence of our lives and our others. At this time, let's take a time to do a silent prayer for yourself and for others. Please join me as we repeat the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Swept over by your Spirit and changed by your love, may we sing with joy before you and live to your glory in the Word. Now, as we gather and we can pass the peace, and may the peace be with you and also with you.
Oh, no, I did mute myself. Now, at this time, any of the children that would like to come down for the children's moment, come and join me at the stairs. Awesome. So how are you ladies doing? Good? Doing very well? Well, we have been talking about Sarah and Abraham and God's promises to them during our worship experience time. And we've been doing different lessons. We've been doing crafts and we've been doing games and we've been doing science projects and all these sort of things. And then this week, we're going to talk about finishing strong. And it just so happened that I lived it yesterday. With Abraham and with Sarah, they spent their whole life wanting a child. And then at the end of their life, they received God's promises in full, didn't they? And God said, I'm going to give you a child, and it was at the end. And sometimes in our life, we start out strong, maybe the first half, and score 21 points. And then the second half, it doesn't really go very well, and the whole day is ruined. But why digress? It is about finishing strong, and it is about what happens at the end of the journey, more important than sometimes the beginning of our day and of our week. And God, it says the same thing to us, and we're reminded about that when we look at Abraham and his life. We're reminded that God fulfills his promises, and it may be at the end of our journey, it may be in the middle, but he always is there for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us, that you have a plan for us. And Lord, sometimes we give up a little bit too early. Sometimes we don't endure what we need to endure to see your promise fulfilled in our life. Help us to be reminded when we look at Sarah and when we look at Abraham that it was at the end of their life, at the end of their journey, that they saw your promises fulfilled. Help us to finish strong in the task that we have in the week ahead and what you have for us in our life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, yep, girls.
Do a quick number for the kids. We're going to teach you guys a song, and then we're gonna change the words a little bit. And you probably know, we used to sing this, yeah. So.
Yeah, 100 years ago.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Yes.
Take a look at yourself and you will look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.
Now, we're going to change the word, so you got to listen and see if you get the change of words.
Well, this is the life. This is where
this
we
is
do
more
the life.
Life, right? This is more life, yeah.
Put your hand in the fan and you might lose a finger. Put your foot in the fan and you might lose a toe.
Put your face now.
Put your face in the fan and you will look at others differently. Put your body in the fan and change your anatomy.
Mike. Now on that note,
As we prepare to hear the word read and proclaimed, let us take some time to silence our minds and focus our hearts and our spirits that we might truly hear what the word has to say for us today and be filled with the Spirit as it seeks to show us how to live our lives. Beginning and ending with the bell, let us go to a time of silence. Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, beginning with verse 19. Hear now this reading with both your ears and your heart. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs could come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was being tormented. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
I was driving up the valley with my radio on, trying hard to change my dismal state of mind.
It was down.
But the music couldn't cover all my shattered dreams of this empty feeling deep inside. I was tempted to abandon any hope I had when I reached to turn the radio down. Just enough to hear the music from a country church that was sitting on the edge of town. They were singing,
"What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms."
From the moment that I stepped inside that little country church, I felt a warmth I've never felt before.
Yes.
And the glow of shining faces I couldn't understand, but it started something knocking at my door. Well, the preacher wasn't preaching about religion that day. His sermon cut my conscience like a knife. It was a heart-to-heart experience with God Himself that would change the whole complexion of my life. They were singing,
"Power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb."
Driving up the valley feeling lighter than air, I can hardly keep it under 55. For I've got a taste of heaven in an old country church where the folks are really coming alive. Something happened. happened at that meeting at the edge of town. And it nearly, nearly blew my mind. And it changed my old complexion of my broken dreams. It's the closest thing to heaven I can find.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Everybody leaning,
leaning,
oh yes, I'm leaning. I'm leaning,
safe and secure from all alarms, leaning,
oh yes, I'm leaning,
leaning on the everlasting arms, everlasting arms.
Hey, we're not good at leaning anymore. We're afraid we're going to fall over. My name is Tom Bartlett. I'm one of the guys for the original group with Mike and Kenny. One other the pastor in our area here, but it is really a joy to be here. And we'll tell you tonight, we're going to do a full program up in Port Richey tonight at Emmanuel Baptist Church. There's a meal at 5 o'clock, and then we'll gather at 6 for a concert. It's going to be a great time. But I just thought maybe we would, first of all, we could share some dirt on Michael. Just, no, we can't do that? Well, tell you what, if we start a Lighthouse Fund, you can contribute to that and get a personal interview. We'll just tell you some things that are very useful, but let me. I do want to say this about Michael. I've known Michael since he was 16 years old, and honestly, he's one of the finest men I've ever known in my life. Without, I'm not, no kidding aside, just one of the best people I've ever known. And so you're all blessed to have him here. He's a wonderful person, and we started this group as kids, and I don't know, Mike, is your dad here this morning?
No, he'll be tonight.
Okay, but at 17 years of age, Michael's parents were crazy. They let him leave and travel with some 18-year-olds across the country. Your parents were nuts, man.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
So I don't know, but there we were going across the country. But we want to just take a moment and introduce the guys in the group and then sing some more for you. And maybe just let each one introduce themselves. And I don't introduce the band since they don't have a mic, but go ahead.
My name is Buddy Eads, originally from South Carolina, a little town called Pickens, and now reside in Atlanta, Georgia. And I came in the group in 1983, following some of the other folks, and it's been a blessing.
My name is Tom Bowles. I'm originally from Rockwood, Tennessee. Go Vols! Whoa. I joined the Lighthouse in 1982, right out of high school. Stayed with them to 1984 until I went in the military. My wife and I, Leslie, have been married 31 years. We live in Louisville, Kentucky. It's good to be with you today.
My name is Michael. Oh, sorry. I just get carried away when I get with you guys. I'm Michael Vetter, and I'm the director of music here at Trinity. And we all started singing in Countryside High School. Yeah. Class, I graduated in 1983, so it would have been 82, I guess. That
we started in 81.
Yeah. Yes.
My name is Kenny Brown. I'm originally from Clearwater, Florida. I was involved with that. And the reason why we did start the group is so we could be a light where we were. As kids, we were asked the question, how can we do that? And so that's why we actually started the group. And it's been a blessing ever since. And I'd like to mention that Jim Draper, who traveled with us, he's watching online.
Hey, Jim.
We all wish you were here, buddy.
Yeah. And then behind me is Vinny Salvaggio and his son, Vince. They're from Lakeland, and they've played music with me over the years. And so it's good just for all of us to be here. So thank you very much. And we want to do a great song that we dedicated to our choral teacher in high school, Roxanne Berger, who will watch this later. So this is a great song called One More Song for You.
As long as there is time and one breath left in me, there will always be one more song for you. And as long as there is room for one more voice in praise and a need for a word of love and truth to help my brother through, there'll be one more song for you.
you were there with your songs of laughter, words of hope for my fears. But what are songs when no one will sing them? What are words when no one hears? There were times life became a question, and when I asked, no one knew. So I found the answer in you. So as long as there is time and one breath left in me, there will always be one more song for you. And as long as there is room for one more voice in praise and a need for a word of love and truth to help my brother through, there'll be one more song for you. Love is in the air around us. Hope abounds everywhere. Living life in the arms of Jesus, learning how to really care. Every day is filled with gladness. All the old is made new. Yes. And I know I owe it all to you. And as long as there is time and one breath left in me, there will always be one more song for you. And as long as there is room for one more voice in praise and a need for a word of love and truth to help my brother through, there'll be one more song for you.
Thank you, gentlemen. That was a lot of fun. Beautiful. I have to say, I offered Mike last week, when he just gave me the first couple of bars of that first number, and I offered to choreograph that number for you, but he turned it down. And I had some really neat moves, especially that going down that avenue yet on the first day of heaven. I think you could handle that. Oh, those new hips couldn't handle it. Okay. We're so pleased to have y'all here today. Also, let me make a little comment about the orange. We are not wearing sports colors today. Those of us who are wearing orange in the congregation are doing so because of the Presbyterian women's commitment to honor violence against women in the world, to commemorate that, not to honor it, okay, but to honor those who suffer from violence. It is the year of fighting against violence against women. And the Violence Against Women Act, the commemoration of that act, is actually November 25th. And so the Presbyterian women have decided to commemorate this on the 25th of every month. And it so happens that this is on Sunday this month. And so you see orange among some of us here this morning. And let's do remember that today. So, let's talk about heaven and hell. And I want to begin with two short stories. The first one was when one of our daughters was much younger, and on the way from church one day announced to her mother that she didn't want to go to heaven. Now, after clearing the existential angst from her throat, my wife asked with parental concern, "Why don't you want to go to heaven?" And the answer came swiftly, as only a young child can. "Well, it sounds like an awfully boring place." Now, the second is my own vision of hell, which sometimes my vision of hell is actually going to heaven and spending eternity with a bunch of religious people who have told me my whole life that I was going to hell. So with these two stories in mind, I'd like for us to take a look at this story that Jesus tells about a poor man who dies and goes to be with Abraham, and a rich man who dies and goes to Hades. And the first thing for us to consider here is that these two terms, being with Abraham, which is more precisely translated in Abraham's bosom, and the word Hades, are not, and I repeat, not a later traditional Western concept of heaven and hell. Because Jesus was a man of his time, and as he tells this story, he uses the language and imagery of his time to talk about afterlife or after death. And Hades is a Greek word, a Greek concept. It comes from Greek mythology. Hades was the god of the underworld. And Hades had two brothers, Zeus and Poseidon, who were gods of the air and the sea. And all three of them had free run of the earth, which was the goddess Gaia, or Mother Earth. So you see, this language of Hades comes out of Greek mythology. And the underworld of Hades became known as the destination for humans after death. And at first, it was a rather benign place, but later it took on more negative characteristics. Now, this phrase, the bosom of Abraham, is in Hebrew scripture and culture. It's a phrase that describes, in many different circumstances, a feeling of comfort and safety. The same as a child feels while a parent lovingly embraces the child. And this expression, the bosom of Abraham, was used to describe numerous places of comfort, but also the place of comfort in the afterlife and the underworld, which the Hebrews called Sheol. That's the word we encounter in the Old Testament. And this place, the bosom of Abraham, was actually in Sheol. And it was the place where the righteous dead resided. Now, by the time of Jesus, this term of Sheol had become synonymous with and kind of overtaken by the Greek Hades. And even within this story that we have here in the New Testament, we have mixed cultural myths of the after death. The rich man is in a Greek myth, and Lazarus is in a Hebrew myth. So neither of these myths come near the elaborate imagery of our understandings of hell and heaven in Western culture. And those come primarily from two sources in the Middle Ages. They come from the poetry of John Milton, Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained, and the poetry of Dante, The Divine Comedy. And both of these sources of literature influenced greatly Western art and our Western visual depictions of heaven and hell. Now, I say all of this just to put this conversation about heaven and hell within an historical and cultural context, and to basically say that nobody really knows what happens to or where humans go after we die. There's been a whole lot of speculation and a whole lot of tradition that is primarily religious. Now, that's not bad, because it's my belief that the primal question around which all religion circles is, what happens when we die? It's the seed of our spirituality. Now, there's a very curious thing that we encounter in the Gospels. Because curiously, Jesus is not very concerned with this question. He's just not. In some form or fashion, Jesus continually tells us that his kingdom of heaven is not somewhere in the future. It doesn't come after we die, but it is here and now. To Jesus, heaven is a way of life, not a place to live after we die. I'd like you to listen to what he says to people questioning him about death and resurrection. This is Jesus talking to a group of Pharisees who are questioning him about death and what comes after, and is there resurrection? And he says, "Have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is God, not of the dead, but of the living." Now, this same teaching is the point of this parable we just heard. In the final exchange between the rich man and Abraham concerning the rich man's brothers, let's listen to that again. Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." And Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Moses, the law, and the prophets are the foundation of Jesus' kingdom. Listen to another exchange between Jesus and some Pharisees in the Gospel of Matthew. The Pharisees say, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then he says, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Love God, love your neighbor. What does this tell us about the world today? How many more aid caravans need to be bombed? How many more refugees fleeing mayhem and death and war need to flow across borders? How many more innocent people of color need to be gunned down in our streets? How many police officers need to face death daily? How many IEDs need to be left on the sidewalks of our cities? How many insults and falsehoods need to be carelessly thrown about by the leaders in the world? How many people afraid that more than enough is not enough? How many? How many? How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? And how much violence can a woman endure before she is safe and secure? How many times must a cannonball fly before they're forever banned? Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? And how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? And how many times can we turn our heads and pretend that we just don't see? How many times must we all look up before we see the sky? And how many ears must people have before we can hear people cry? And how many deaths will it take till we know that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. And the answer really is blowing in the wind. It is the wind of the Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, telling us the same thing the Spirit has told us from the beginning. Love God. Love God with our whole being and love one another as we love ourselves. Now there is our answer. However, Jesus' final words of this parable still haunt those of us, especially those of us who claim to be Easter people. If they do not listen to Moses or the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Amen.
Please be seated. Now, as the ushers prepare to come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings, please join me in offering our resources and ourselves. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and we who live in it. Freely we have received, and freely we give. Let's return to God the offerings of our life and the gifts of the earth.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars.
How great thou art!
Please join me in our prayer of thanksgiving and dedication. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Amen.
My friends, God is God of our life. And perhaps it's time for we, people of faith, to begin to really listen to Jesus and follow Jesus instead of just believing in Jesus. Because Jesus tells us over and again that we will be known by our fruits. We will be known by our love. How many times do we have to hear it? How many? Let us go. And let us do our best to listen and to follow the words and the life of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Final piece is our theme song, The Lighthouse.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see.
Then the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us home.
If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin
He has shown.
Everybody that lives around it says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use it standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time saw His light.
Yes, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin,
I could
show a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse,
tell me,
where would this ship be?
thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown.